pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago in terms of some of the general principles that guide us throughout all of those brachos. We've been talking a lot about what brachos are deraita, what brachos are derabbanan, and we came pretty much to the conclusion that brachos are mazon is for sure a bracha min haTorah, brachos are Torah, according to many, is a bracha min haTorah, brachos are mitzvahs, those probably are only with derabbanan. And then brachos are recited before we eat food, are probably only with derabbanan. So even assuming now that we're dealing with a principle that's with derabbanan of a bracha and mitzvah, nevertheless, still, the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, the halacha clearly dictates that before one performs the mitzvah, one is supposed to recite a bracha. So that statement I just made really is a halachic statement in of itself, that a bracha is specifically supposed to precede the performance of the mitzvah, not to follow the performance of the mitzvah. That's really the tonight sugya called a mitzvah to bracha and over the yasa. The fact that we daska recite a bracha, daska before we perform the mitzvah rather than afterwards. We take a look at the first of the Ramakomos, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim of Zayin Rebeis. The Gemara comments to Kuliyama Miyam Mekarbin in Lebruche. Everybody agrees that one is supposed to recite a bracha before and does the mitzvah. The context of this particular statement of the Gemara is actually referring to a statement in earlier on Masechet Pesachim about the bracha that's said before Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara, the whole Shaila, what exactly is the nusach bracha before Bedikas Chametz? Is the bracha Al Bi Chametz? That's the bracha that we're familiar with. Or is perhaps the bracha Levi Chametz in the Lamed? The issue is a grammatical issue, it's a basic issue. Everybody agrees that the bracha is supposed to be for the future tense. The question is whether Al has that connotation of future or not. The Gemara says, putting aside the diktuk, everyone agrees on the basic principle that the bracha does precede the mitzvah. And the question is, where does that come from? No one, how do we know this? The Gemara says, the Amrav Yudah Mashmuel, kol the mitzvahs levarach le'er avodas yasa. That's a given that mitzvahs are always, the bracha is always recited beforehand. And the phrase the Gemara uses is overlas yasa. We might just pick up just technically what does the word over mean? My mashma by over lishes ektubeil. How do you know that that's what Shmuel was referring to with the word over? Over is not the usual word that we use. We usually use the word lefnei or kodem. So how do we know that the word over has that meaning? That describes Achimath who was running and he went in front of the kushi, went in front of the other person who was racing again. You see that over has the connotation of before. Abayar Mehochav, who Abayar Lefneim, Yaakov, also the Torah uses the word over, meaning in front. Again, another pasuk in Tanakh that has the same connotation. So the bottom line is everybody agrees the word over means before. Everyone agrees that the halacha is, you have to recite the bracha beforehand. And now the Gemara raises the question, are there any exceptions to this rule? So the Rav Amrei, chutz min hatvila v'shoifa. From the Shivan Rav, they said, that one has to recite a bracha before the mitzvah, with two exceptions. One is the mitzvah tzvila, the mikvah, and the other is blowing shofar. The Gemara questions why that should be so, and in the end we're going to actually question it altogether. So the Gemara says, mishlova tzvila, do I understand why you have to recite the bracha of tzvila afterwards, yekate gavra lo chazi, because the person cannot recite the bracha before tovering the mitzvah, because they're not fit to recite a bracha at that point. Of course, raises a red flag, why are they not fit to recite a bracha? Who is this phantom person going to the mikvah? So there are a lot of different possibilities. Either this person is a woman who's going to the mikvah with Tzilas Midah, which would lead us to question, why can't she recite the bracha before? Maybe person, the Gemara is talking about a person who was tameh, a man who was tameh, who was for some reason going to the mikvah. Once again, why can't he recite the bracha before? Maybe the Gemara is talking about a ger who's going to the mikvah, which would make a lot of sense, why he or she cannot recite the bracha before. They're not Jewish yet, and they come out of the mikvah. So we're going to see, hopefully, if the sugya develops, which of those three, if any of them, all of them, we're actually referring to. But at least, tevila, we can begin to understand, because the principle of gavra lo chazi. Of a shofar my time, what is the problem with shofar? Why in the world can you not recite the bracha of shofar before blowing the shofar? The v'chi teva may be going to say, mishum duma makalkla tkiya, because shofar is a tricky kind of a mitzvah. You may not succeed in doing the mitzvah. Most mitzvahs, if I'm holding the tefillin in my hand, that'd be a real clutch. Not to be able to, you know, just holding the tie. Without the tie on, I can say the bracha, you know, pretty much assuming I'm going to get through the mitzvah. I'm about to do other mitzvahs, so it's pretty simple. Shofar, you never know. We've all had the experience of being in shul, where the bracha kesa, you can't blow it. This is not happening. So maybe Chazal instituted that the bracha of kiyah shofar should be recited afterwards, because it's just not practical. You can't be certain to do it before. Must be hockey, that's the case. And any mitzvah takes a little bit of skill, a little bit of expertise. So we're going to be concerned with reciting the bracha before. How can we sanction reciting a bracha in the shechita? Shechem made a netzach. The boil did not do a good job. How can you make a bracha before him? The Gemara says you're right. However, the chutz to tefillah bovad itmar. That we have the incorrect years in that. But when we thought originally that there were two exceptions to the rule, we thought tefillah and shofar. But upon further discussion, the Gemara realizes that shofar is not a good example. And that's the fact that we follow the halacha. Because that practice is, like the Maskata Tegemara, that we do in fact recite the bracha before we blow the shofar. And the only one of the mitzvahs that stands out, that form the brachas recited afterwards, is tefillah. And finally, the Gemara said, we have a bracha to support this, even though there's a little bit unclear what the Amorim was saying. But the Gemara says the final conclusion is that Tavo be Allah, but we also Amorach Shem Hashem Tzvar Allah tefillah. First is Tavo first. Again, we're not sure if we're talking about a gear, a woman, a man. We don't know who we're talking about. But somebody is Tovah v'Olah, and then only then he recites the Bracha Alat Tzvila, because of the reason of Gavi Gavi L'Chaz, he wasn't fit to recite the Bracha before. So when Rabbi does tell us in the Sugya, two things clearly come out. One is that there's a general rule called Ovelas V'Yasan. Number two, there is potential for an exception to the rule, but it's very, very limited in terms of exception. So comes the Hagos Ashri, the second of the Ma'amar Kamos, with a note to the back of the Rosh, and quotes from the Orza Ruach, from the Gedalia that we've shown him. So comes the Hagos Ashri and says, "The Shaychei Tzorech Levarech Kodem HaShchita, a person who Shech has to recite the Bracha before the Shchita, Ki Rabbi Yochanan, Velo Chashina and Shabbat Tisnagel HaShchita, and we do not have to be concerned that he's going to make the Shchita to the Vechel, means now it wasn't Shechted properly. So there's nothing to be concerned with. That was the conclusion of the Gemara. Miu is where the Hagos Ashri takes over. Miu, nevertheless, what if the person didn't recite the bracha? Whatever, he forgot to do, he forgot to take the bracha. All of a sudden, he shechted now. When he realizes a minute later, he goes, "Oh, I forgot to recite a bracha." So what do you do now? So said the Hagos Ashri, "Im lo birech kodem hashchita, yochal bracha achar hashchita." He'll make the bracha after the shchita. What's so terrible? The yaitze yedechay vasa, and the yevad that'll be acceptable. Shekol mitzvah shelo birech over vatiyatan. The Vorech Acher Asiyasi is the Pirish for Brachas, that even though the Chetchil, you were supposed to recite the Bracha before him, the Diyev, that if you recite the Bracha afterwards, that would also be okay. And of course, the Arza Ruah. This is based on the Rishon, the Arza Ruah. How did the Arza Ruah know this? Who told the Arza Ruah that the Diyev, that if you recite the Bracha after the Mitzvah? Well, maybe he got it from the Gemara that we just read. Because after all, the Gemara is giving us an exception to the rule. The Gemara did open up the possibility of, and the conclusion that Tvila is an exception to the rule. The Gemara was talking that maybe Shofar is an exception, maybe Shchita, maybe Miel. The Gemara had on the radar screen that there may be, there's just logistical considerations that will force us to recite the Bracha afterwards, and the Halacha there really are, i.e. Tvila really truly is recited, the Bracha is recited afterwards. So ask the... If you're clear, then you should make the Bracha, right. Oh, okay, oh, very good. Oh, okay, very excellent. So we're going to see, as we go on, we're going to see, is there anything that was wrong where you tried your best? You did your best and hope for the best. So the Chol Rabbi Yosef Ruah is bringing a raya from the fact that that under certain extenuating circumstances, we do permit brachas after the mitzvah. If the din of Ovelas Yosef would be an absolute chutzal yad written in stone, that a bracha must precede the mitzvah, there's no such concept of a bracha post the mitzvah, then I would have told you, so don't make a bracha when you go to the mikvah. Don't make a bracha when you blow shofar. Well, how many people are saying that when you can't make the bracha before, you make the bracha afterwards? That sounds more like a lechatchil b'diyevet type of scenario. Lechatchil would like you to make the bracha before. If it's a shasat chach and you can, then the b'diyevet will let you do it afterwards. If a bracha after a mitzvah is not binding, it's meaningless. Bracha vatel is worthless. But how can you even do it, even in extenuating circumstances, should not be acceptable? So the Chardi as a rule was bringing a proof. You see that Chazal warned so Mahmud, this din of reciting brachas beforehand, not the end of the world. So the Chachiva, it's not so terrible. It's interesting that the Rishonim are working very, very hard to make sure we get this bracha shchit in. They're willing to almost flip the order a little bit and let you make the bracha afterwards. You don't want to have a shchit without a bracha. What's so terrible if you check the lamb without a bracha? So the truth is, probably nothing. The shchit is kosher anyway. Let's say a person shechted an animal and didn't recite a bracha neither before nor afterwards. So there's no reason to disqualify the shechita. It's no different than any other mitzvah. Let's say I blew shofar and I forgot to make a bracha. I'm still yaitzeg. I ate mas and I forgot to make a bracha. I realized an hour later, I realized tomorrow, I didn't make a bracha. Big deal. The bracha is not ma'akiv anyway. The whole bracha is only mitzvah. the recitation, or lack of the bracha, is not going to impact on the kashrus of the mitzvah. That's the pashrus in the halacha. But again, we're trying to get the bracha, and we want to be united in the midst of a bracha, but it's not the end of the world. So there is one statement, it's hard to call it a Rishon, but there's a statement in a sefer that has its roots back from the days of the Rishonim that says otherwise. It's a very, very mysterious sefer that emerged in the Middle Ages. It was called Hilchas Aleph Yud. Now, for some time, people thought that Hilchas Aleph Yud were Rashi Tavis for Eretz Yisrael. They're scratching that, trying to figure out where this comes from Eretz Yisrael. This is another Eretz Yisrael. Aleph Yud was a mistake. It doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael. Aleph Yud stood for Amar Yehoshua. Hilchas Amar Yehoshua. Who was Amar Yehoshua? So there was an interesting character who was walking around the Middle Ages. His name was Eldad Hadani. Eldad Hadani, whether he believed it or was telling people that he believed it, he was a descendant of the Asas HaShvatim. He claimed that he was from the Asas HaShvatim, and he claimed that he had access to some kind of a manuscript that goes all the way back to the days, back to Yeshua ben Nun. So the sefer starts with Om Yeshua Amar Moshe Piagvura. The only problem was that it didn't go back to Yeshua ben Nun. He went anywhere near Yeshua ben Nun. He has a lot of our strange things in the sefer that in a million years Yeshua ben Nun never would have written. Even if he would have written writing smug, wouldn't have written this strange thing. But one of the strange things that he has in this sefer, the Rishon quoted, they're not really sure what to do with it. But the Rishon quotes from this Amar Yehoshua sefer, the Omer Adani, that says that if you shecht an animal, you don't make a bracha, the shechit is ugly. The shechit is available, it's also to eat the animal. The Rishon says, the Leitonis, how can you say such a thing? The whole bracha was instituted by the Anti Knesset Gedolah, 1,000 years after Yeshua ben Nun. So the whole bracha, the Gemara brachas are only the Rabbanim brachas and mitzvot. They were instituted by the Chachamim. How in the world can Yeshua ben Nun telling you a story that if you shech without a bracha, it's no good? Now he had a very creative imagination. I'm not sure where in the world he got this from, but it's not normative halacha. So the Ned Yehuda has an interesting tshuva where he quotes a certain statement from Eldad Hadani, and he says that, you know, it's very strange. I'm trying to explain to give some kind of halachic background to it. Even though we all know in the heart of hearts that it wasn't really offensive, not really part of our Messiah. It was just some very, very strange source that was floating around. Was it because it was a fever? It's just strange. And then they knew the right that we don't really have to spend too much time trying to defend the things that are there. They're not really normative at all. They're not really part of our tradition at all. But I thought one of the Rishonim tried hard to get the bracha in, not because the Chayshish Rabbi had done it, but because the correct thing to do is to recite bracha. So take the approach that if you messed up, either Mashchit or any other mitzvah for that matter, so the Diyavid, you could still recite the bracha afterwards. So the Rambam clearly doesn't say this. In the context of Luchas Brachas, in the third of the Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Yidalef, Luchas Brachas, writes, about Shachet Peloi Bracha, if a person shechted an animal by mistake and didn't recite the bracha, you cannot recite the bracha afterwards. What if you did a mitzvah of kisi adam? If you cover the blood and shecht a wild animal and shecht a bird, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to cover the blood. So you're supposed to recite the bracha before you cover the blood. If at the end you goofed and you cover the blood, it's over, finished. You can't recite the bracha. Or if it's true, if a person is mafish with the maitres, or she tovav lo birech in the chodim of rachach rasiya, the chayin kol chayot to the Or the person is tovel, let's say a minute with Rami like this. If a person is tovel and didn't make a bracha, you can't make a bracha afterwards. We just learned a moment ago that still is the exception. Let's look at the next rabbi, there's only one mitzvah under the sun that you make a bracha afterwards. At least the Rambam explained to us what the problem was with tefillah. He's talking specifically about a tefillah of a ger for a very simple reason. As the Rambam, when a woman knows that it makes the tefillah of nida, doesn't make the bracha beforehand, but you have to make the bracha afterwards. When a ger knows that it makes the convert, that's a problem. You can't make the bracha before. The nevach is stuck. You have to recite the bracha afterwards. Lefikach, achash yitvul mevach latvila. Why is that? Says the Rambam, there's only one reason why a ger is allowed to make the bracha, or really has to make the bracha afterwards, because it was impossible for him to recite the bracha beforehand. And that's the principle that the Rambam is highlighting here, that the ger was dochli meikoro. The ger, was in the position that he could not recite the bracha. It was impossible. It wasn't practical for him to recite the bracha beforehand, because he wasn't Jewish. And then, and only then, do we let you get away with making a bracha afterwards. The implication of the Rambam is obvious, that under any other circumstances that you could have recited the bracha, you didn't, you forgot, you goofed, you didn't make a mistake. It doesn't matter, says the Rambam. Tachlis, brachas after the mitzvah are completely inappropriate. Bracha before the mitzvah makes sense, and bracha after the mitzvah makes absolutely no sense. There's only one exception to the rule, and that is not even all tefillahs, only tefillahs ger. So we have a major machlokes here between the Rud and Gosasha on the one hand, who are learning, who are deriving from the fact that sometimes you can make a bracha afterwards. That's a raya, that basically brachas are always good afterwards, but you have it always acceptable. And the Rambam is saying no, that tefillahs ger is such an exception to the rule because of that consideration of dochi meikar. How do we pass in halacha and this stuff like this? So now this becomes important for us. This is not just important in terms of tefillah, in terms of shechita, but all mitzvahs. Tell a misa. A person blew the shofar, forgot to make a bracha. A person did another mitzvah, read the Megillah, forgot to make a bracha. A person lit his chanukah again, forgot to make the bracha. You didn't the tefillah finish, and you realize 5 minutes later, yes or no, did you make a bracha? The other ruler goes, so I should say yes. And the Rambam says, absolutely not. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's a little bit confusing how we should follow the halacha. If you take a look at the fourth of the Mamre Kamos, once again, the Choshchit and Yerdeya and Simon Yitzat to follow. Hashaychei tzorach shivarech kodem, hashaychei kidishan mitzvayt v'tvar ha-shchita. Before Yishach, you have to recite a bracha al ha-shchita. Just parenthetically, the Rishonim point out that we're not even sure why you were reciting a bracha in the first place for shchita. The Gemara says you do, but it's not 100% clear why, because there is a machlekes that we show him is shchita actually a mitzvah. So the Rambam counts shchita as one of the tag mitzvahs, and the Ravid says shchita is not a mitzvah. It's only meat. Somebody told you to eat meat. If you want to eat meat, then you have to eat meat in such and such a manner. That's not really a mitzvah. That's the emotional of a person sources meat. That's the kashi of meat. You recite bracha? Don't bracha to recite. The reason why I'm kashi the meat is because the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat blood, so to avoid eating blood, I have to do malicha. It's not called a mitzvah. If the person passes by McDonald's and decides not to go in, you don't make a bracha, shef yishtana, shalom lecho bach b'chala. The bracha to recite on positive mitzvah, not on actions that are done to avoid prohibition. So the Ravid says that shechting is not a mitzvah, it's not positive mitzvah. It's just to avoid the prohibition of eating the vela, of eating non-shechted food. So why are you reciting a bracha in the first place? So l'chora, the Ravid will have to explain that it's not quite the same as not walking to McDonald's. When I don't walk into McDonald's, there's no halachic framework to how not to walk into McDonald's. The Turk couldn't care less whether I choose to cross the street, whether I choose to close my mouth, whether I choose to close my eyes, whether I choose not to walk down the block. Tachlis, as long as you don't eat McDonald's, that's okay. So there's no mice involved. There's no halachic guidelines and parameters how to avoid not eating McDonald's. They don't make a bracha of that. So over here, I want to eat meat. The Torah says there's only one way, and one way alone, that you can enable yourself to eat meat derech heter. You have to go to shechita. And I'm going to give you, the Torah says, I'm going to tell you exactly what you have to do. You got to take a knife in, you got to check the knife in, you got to shaft it in this way, and that way, the other way. All the halachic shechita that was mentioned in Moshe Rabbeinu by Sinai, it has to be done. There's a halachic process, a halachic protocol, it has to be done in such a manner. If that's the case, even though it's not technically a mitzvah, you can still say Hashem Kiddushanuv Mitzvayis HaMitzvah. You can say with a straight face, the Rosh Hashanah is Mekadosh. The Rosh Hashanah told us how to do this. It's not just, we left it up to our own to figure it out, how not to be nishal in the Nevela. It's a very specific protocol, how not to be nishal in the Nevela. Let's say the Moshel, we've been talking about making a bracha going to the mikvah. Okay, a woman goes to the mikvah to feel his knees up. Is it a mitzvah to go to the mikvah? But one could argue, maybe it's not a mitzvah. Who said it's one of the tired mitzvahs? It's a din. If you want to become Tahora, you have to go to the mikvah. You don't want to become Tahora, you don't go to the mikvah. We're not advocating that going. We're just saying that it's you have a goal. Your goal is to become Tahora, so maybe you have to go in such and such manner. So does that warrant a bracha or not? So according to the Rishonim, yes, that would also warrant a bracha. But even though it's true, it may not be required, and in theory a person can take the attitude, well, I don't want to go to the mikvah, but if and when you want to become Tahor, then there's no other way to do it. You have to follow the steps, that's all the rules. You can't become Tahor in any other manner. You have to go dafka to a mikvah, it's got to be a kosher mikvah with a prop, tefillah without chatit, all the rules that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, what tefillah b'mikvah means, but that warrants a bracha. So sometimes if you have a bracha, it's decided in something, it's not a formal mitzvah. It can be almost what we call a matir. It's something that is not really a mitzvah in itself, it's really there to permit you to do something, to accomplish a certain goal, but since it's halakhically mandated how to do it, that also warrants it. We get back to that story. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in the Dach of the Shvot and Ramam Kremis that you recite a bracha on Shechita. The end of the first law is Shachar v'labirich Kshev. If you shechted and didn't make a bracha, then the end of the Shechita is good, i.e., forget about what it says on the Yashu. The end of the Shechita is good. But now the Ramah adds on the spot. V'mshachar David is yale bo reyusa v'tzorach b'dika yishchetenu v'loy bracha. What if I'm about to shecht an animal and I have the suspicion, I have reason to believe that there's something fishy about this animal. I think that this animal may be a trefa. Trefa means it has some kind of an internal injury to it. I suspect this animal may have a hole in its lungs. I have reason to believe this animal doesn't look too well. It's coughing away. So something's funny. If something happened to this animal, it leads me to believe it has a hole in its head, a hole in its heart, a hole in its stomach. There's no way for me to know this. Short of, I guess, doing an ultrasound on it, there's no way for me to know this until I shecht it and I open it up. Now what do? So when I shecht it and I open it up, it turns out that it was a trefa, so then I didn't really do a shechita, or at least the shechita I did didn't really accomplish all that much. I'm not allowed to eat it anyway. So the Ramah is working with the assumption that if I knew for a fact that it was a trefa, then I know for a fact I'm not going to be able to eat it. For some strange reason, I still want to shecht it. I can't recite a bracha. But like the person's practicing to be a shechit. So he doesn't want to practice on an animal that's going to be eaten because the case is goof, because he has to throw it out. So we find a good sick animal. That anyway, the animal is going to be trained. So he knows, we just took an extra, just took an ultrasound, we see that big hole in its heart. So this animal is not going anywhere anyway. He wants to practice on shechita on this animal. So he wants to make a bracha ala shechita. But the Ramos, he can't do that. How can he make a bracha ala shechita if the animal is not going to be mutter v'yachila anyway? So the truth is, there are some Rishonim that say you can make a bracha ala shechita, but the shechita is okay. You fulfill the mitzvah of shechita. It's just you can't eat the animal for other reasons. It's not an avera. So that's what Rashi is quoted by saying, you can make a bracha, but there are Ramos assuming that. Ramos assuming that if you're not going to end up eating the animal because of treifas, so somehow that disqualifies the bracha from shechita as well. So now the guy's in a pickle. He wants to shecht this animal. He doesn't know for a fact that it's a treifa, but it may be. He has a suspicion that it's a treifa. So what should he do? Should he make a bracha or not make a bracha? If he makes a bracha, then he's risking a bracha without telling. If he doesn't make a bracha, if it turns out it was okay, then he lost the bracha. So Ramah comes up with a compromise. Ramah says, he was shachad David yishalab ha-reyasa, v'tzorach b'dika. He wants to shech something with the reyasa. There's some kind of reason to believe there's a problem. And he's going to have to check internally later. Yishchatel b'loy bracha, the Ramah. Shech to the bracha. U'chshayim tekosh, when you open it up and you walk out, lo and behold, tachay no hole. Baruch Hashem, the animal is healthier than he thought it was. V'varach ha-shechita. So he says, you make bracha l'shechita then. Assuming that soon after the shechita, the guy shechts the animal on Monday morning, he puts it in the freezer, looks at it 2 days later, and then he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's okay. That's ready. There's no tear, there's no connection to the shechita. As long as it's pretty close, there's no real formal hefsek, then it would be okay. So it's not a great surprise, but the source of this halacha stone, it was in the parentheses, the Arzah Ruach of Kisei, Veitan Arzah Ruach. Now, this is not a shocking statement of the Arzah Ruach. But let's not forget, the Arzah Ruach was the one who, in the previous Marmachim, the Begat Ashkin called in Marmachim 2 Marmachims ago, was the one who said, well, b'diavad, you can always make brachas afterwards. So if the Arzah Ruach is l'shitasa, the Arzah Ruach is saying, I hold that you can always make a bracha afterwards. It's just the chetchila beforehand. So in this unique case, when you can't make the bracha l'chetchila, it's impossible, it's the suffering bracha l'matala, so we're going to let you b'diavad, in effect l'chetchila, even make the bracha afterwards. So the fact that the Arzah Ruach sanctions reciting a bracha after the shechita, the suffering treifa, this is not a great surprise. It's the Arzah Ruach following his view. The question is, why did the Ramah quote this Arzah Ruach lehalacha? So one of two possibilities. Either the Ramah quoted this Arzah Ruach because Sitaka Paschim is like the Arzah Ruach, and therefore we can extrapolate to even a case not of a treifa, not of a suffering treifa. What if a person shechts a perfectly healthy animal? He knows it's going to be fine. He didn't make the bracha, but the evidence he makes the bracha afterwards. The Arzah Ruach wasn't saying anything unique in this Marmachim. He was just following his own footsteps that a bracha b'diavad can be recited afterwards. If that's the case, then the Ramah is taking a stand on all of his brachas. The Ramah would let you make a bracha after you finished the Megillah, after you ate the matzah, after you do the shachar, any mitzvah you did, as long as you remember within a short amount of time, some of the mitzvah, would still technically be good b'diavad. I think it just means not a significant hefsek. I think that's what it means. But maybe that's not what the Ramah meant altogether. Because the Ramah never quotes the first half of the Arzah Ruach. Nowhere in our Chaim in the day, never does the Ramah say, but the Eved, if you ate Maas, you can make a bracha afterwards. Never does he say, if you blew shofar and you remember a minute later, you can make a bracha afterwards. Maybe what the Rabban meant is as follows. We really, truly follow the Shita Tzidah. Our view is really the opinion of the Rambam, that you have to make a bracha beforehand. Under no circumstances can you make a bracha afterwards, unless, like the case of Tefillah, you couldn't make the bracha beforehand. Why couldn't you make the bracha by Tefillah? Because the person wasn't going. Here, the second case of the Yazaruah is similar to that. I couldn't make the bracha. What do you want me to do? You want me to make a bracha on the animal that has a 50% chance of a whole heart? I'm not allowed to. You tell me, you rabbi yourself tell me not to make the bracha. The suffix bracha was always. I said, yes, the Ramah. Should I make a bracha on the suffix trade? He'd say no. But the Ramah is saying that whenever you have any situation that arises that you are dachoy, you can't make the bracha. It's impossible for you to make the bracha. Then and only then we will look the other way and let you make the bracha afterwards, because that's the halacha according to the Tefillah case. But if the reason why you didn't make the bracha before, because you were lazy, you forgot, you were careless, then we will not let you make the bracha afterwards. So it's unclear from the Ramah, but the Ramah quoting one of the other rules, not the other one, does the Ramah mean, yeah, he's buying into the whole other rule, Shita? Or does the Ramah say, no, I'm not buying into the other rule, I'm meeting the other rule halfway, I'm willing to say when it was Dochei Meikara, almost like the Ramah's Lashon was, and the Ramah's treating this almost like Dochei Meikara. But even though it's not 100% clear what the Ramah was saying, the way the Poskim seemed to side against this other rule, seems to side that with the very, very few exceptions of the tefillah, or maybe the suffix trefa, generally speaking, if a mitzvah was done, the bracha wasn't recited, and the bracha should not be recited yet. But the one case that for sure was an exception, that was tefillah. That was explicit in the Gemara. So now there's a machlokes to be shown him just how much of tefillah is really an exception. So in the fifth of the Ramah Kamos, Tosfos in Pesachim Zayin Amud Beis, ala tefillah, Amr ben Chanan b'shem Agoyim, ben Chanan calls one of the Goyim, Dafka b'tfilas ger, to l'chazi karim b'tfilah. Only b'tfilas ger, because you can't say, the lo matzul me'er b'tzivanu, dekaki nochrihu, aval shar chazi b'tfilah. What about a regular person who's going to the mikvah? Like the Rambam said, a regular person has to make the bracha before, and you can't make the bracha afterwards. If you go, what are some examples? Kon bal keri b'chayay tibo, mutal avarech. What if you have a person, a man who became tameh, bal keri, and now he wants to go to the mikvah. So can he make the bracha before, or can he not make the bracha before? The answer depends. If you accept what's called the Kohen Ezra, or if you reject the Kohen Ezra. The Mishnah tells us in brachas that the days of Ezra, there was a Kohen that was made by Ezra and his Beis Din, that once a man becomes Talmid of Rav Keri, he should not make any bracha, shouldn't daven, shouldn't learn until he goes to the mikvah. So Gemara says in the later days of the Tanoim, they were mavapko that the Kohen Ezra, because they realized most people weren't following it anyway. I just write, whenever you have a takana that's called Pashtub of Yisrael, that most of the Kaito weren't following a certain Dindir Rabbanon, and then the Beis Din abolishes it. This is not wise. If the people can't do it, they can't do it. A Dindir Raisa, the people gets up and says, we can't keep Shabbos. Tough, better figure out how to keep Shabbos. But if there's a Dindir Rabbanon that's made, and the people just can't act it, then the Gemara says that you have to do the Vatla. If Ein goes in Zer Latibar, Elikin wrote Tivichel Mamadba. So sometimes you have a takana Zer that was made, and it takes a long time to determine, did it catch on, did it not catch on? Not so simple. So eventually, over time, the Chazal came to the realization that the Kohen Ezra just didn't really catch on, and they were mevatel, and that's why the time is out. We don't really follow it. Because the mitzvah chasidus, to be shown and right, is a nice thing to do. Those who are able to go to the mikvah, when they become tamei lechem bracha. But in terms of being a real requirement, it's not a requirement, this man is there. And therefore, Tosfos is right, this man is there, when a person wants to go to the mikvah, so they can make a bracha before. What's the big deal? Why can't they make a bracha before him? Did Amir Perva Shemeso, Nog Alma Ketlosa Sabe, Rabbi Huda Bal Keri, Shiachal is followed the Varach Lulaka and Tfila. The Gemara says that the Minigah Olam was to follow, there were three Pesachim that were given by three Sabim, three older Tamil Chachamim, about three different issues in Halacha, that the Minigah became to follow those Tanoim. So one of them was the view of Rabbi Huda, the view of the Seira, who said that the Kohen Ezra is over. So our practice is that we don't talk about it, Ezra. So you're allowed to make a bracha before. So what's the big deal? The only time you don't make a bracha before is a non-Jew is converted. But nevertheless, Tosfos finishes. Avo pichein emiri te'en ligo v'nashim shelavachas acharat tefillah. We shouldn't stop. We shouldn't rebuke the women who recite the bracha when they go to the mikvah after the tefillah. Came with the ikat tefillah ger l'mot nevarach l'chilfu. Since there is once in a while a bracha in the mikvah that cannot be recited before named Tfilas Ger, the Chazal perhaps wanted to have uniformity in the brachas. Every time you go to the mikvah, every person should know going to the mikvah first, Tfilah first, bracha afterwards. Even though 99% of the Tfilas doesn't really make any sense, but Tfilas Nashim makes absolutely no sense. They'll look plugin of his brachas, not to differentiate. So Tosfos doesn't sound like they're a big fan of this minute. When they read the Ein Ligo B'Noshim, it sounds like don't scream with the women about it. But if you want to know what the truth is that Rabbi Chananel the Gaon said it's true, that the only type of tefillah that really makes no sense, that really makes sense to the type of bracha, you have to know it's given. Even though the Tosfos gives a very powerful endorsement of this minute, they're not screaming at it, but later Pesukim, later Chachmei Ashkenaz, adopted this minute, accepted this minute, and this has become the standard in our community. But the Ashkenazi women today do not recite a bracha before they go to the mikvah. They daftar recite a bracha right after they come out. The toivah first, and then they come out, and then only then they recite the bracha. Sfarim do not do that. Sfarim follow the minhag of the Shifarach, follow the Rambam, the Techanav, the Gaonim, who take the Gemara literally only for Tfilas Geirim. Tfilas Noshim, they recite a bracha, then they go under the water. The Ashkenazim follow this minhag at the Re, a long-standing minhag, this minhag that the Re, they don't want to review because eventually become the normal standard minhag in Ashkenaz. But even though this is a minhag, this man of the Ashkenazi communities, the Pesukim point out that it's not such a glatt minhag, not such a perfect minhag, because probably most of the Rishon didn't accept it. Probably most of the Rishon went to give Mark of Shuto, only that she was gay or not by other tefillah. So how can we somehow keep the minhag and make things a little bit better, have a cake and eat it? Kind of keep the Gemara, keep the minhag all rolled into one. So there was another minhag, the corollary minhag, a second minhag that developed, is that after a woman goes to the mikvah, one time she goes under the water, she comes out, she recites the bracha, then she goes down a second time. What's the goal of going down the second time? To make it at least a little bit of avolas yosan. So even though not really avolas yosan, because she already was yet to the first tefillah, but it's a little bit of avolas yosan because she's about to do a second tefillah. Again, we have no problem. Right, but we have good motives. We have no problem with the Gemara said. The Gemara said that Agir does it this way. So we have no problem. We don't have to be from the Gemara. But by the Nashim, we're going to most of the Rishon, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So then there's a minute came to, in a certain sense, defend the first minute. The question is, does it really accomplish anything, this second part of the minute? So Lechora, according to pure halacha, it doesn't, no pun intended, it doesn't accomplish anything. Because once the woman goes under the water once, she's tahora, finished, it's done. The second tefillah is meaningless. The second tefillah is command alaysa. She's 100% mutas the baila with one tefillah alone. So what kind of a lasiyasin is it? You were yaitzi already. It's like the person saying, I blew the shofar, I'm going to make a bracha and then blow the shofar again. The second blowing is meaningless. What do you accomplish? So the emphasis is that we do it anyway, even though it doesn't really accomplish anything. Some achrarim have strange chumras that maybe she tell the woman she's having wine not to be yaitzi with the first. We don't play this game. We'll go to the mikvah, she should go to the mikvah normal, got the funny kuntzim and everything. She goes to the mikvah the first time, comes up, recites the bracha, and then goes down a second time. Then there's a later minute, which has nothing to do with this, that the woman goes to the mikvah a third time. She's tavelos a third time. That's a different reason. For all other reasons, that's not a real din. The real emissary din is one tefillah does the job, the second tefillah is a minhag in order to create a little bit of an avolas yosan. The whole point of everybody agrees that klal is called mitzvah of avolas yosan. Everybody agrees that's the din for sholach etchila. According to the Rambam, that's the din even with the yevet. According to the Yerzarua, with the Usher, with the yevet, you can always make a bracha afterwards if it's close enough. Everyone agrees that there are some exceptions to the rule. That's the case of Trilas Geir for sure. Whether we can extrapolate to the Shechit of the Tzadik Treifa is questionable. Whether we can extrapolate to other Trilas is questionable as well. So the basic rule we have, the basic exception to the rule we have, there's a couple of pieces, odds and ends of three. We're not quite sure where to place them into this whole spectrum of things. Probably next week, we'll try to continue this string of Avodah Siyasan and try to see how it plays out in terms of other applications as well. I think actually it won't be next week, but next week I have a chasana Wednesday night. I think in 2 weeks I'll be there for sure on Wednesday night. So I think it may be a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for part two of this. I'll submit to Shem in 3 weeks. The Gemara calls it the Chalosh. But the Gemara calls it, the Gemara says that let's see if a gear was ready to convert. And the person's finally all ready to roll. They're ready to go. They're ready to go.